Is that zombie takeout in your respirator?
Yeah, sure. Zombie takeout.
On behalf of podcasters everywhere, I am ashamed to count you amongst us, Feifeld. Really.
What's up? Welcome to episode 338 of Zombie Takeout.
Takeout.
The B-Movie and Cult Movie Podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, we've got some listeners submitted. This is from Bodo. He sent us a video on Twitter. And we'll get back to that with an announcement in a little bit. And here's the audio from his video.
Uncle John, Scotto, what horror movie would you remake that hasn't been done? Mine would be Day of the Triffids. Oh!
Now, I actually told you about this question, like, right after I saw his tweet, because we both needed some time to think about this one.
Well, right. It's a tough one.
Yeah, this is a really good question.
It's tough because everything's been remade.
Yeah.
You know, redone, sequels, you know, whatnot.
My initial thought was Night of the Living Dead, but I found out it had been remade. And then I thought a while, and this is kind of a joke I was going to go with, I'd love to see Edgar Wright redo Blair Witch.
I would like to see About Schmidt remade.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe just the hot tub scene.
Yeah. But my actual answer, and this has had a few sequels, but not a proper remake. I would love to see Guillermo del Toro take a shot at Reanimator.
Whoa.
You know, make it properly scary.
Yeah. I would like to see a remake of Showgirls.
We could even have Jeffrey Combs as the teacher, the guy who, you know, whose head he revives.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
But seriously, the only one I can think of, and maybe this is already in the works, who knows, but Bad Taste.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And you have a director in mind, or?
Let's see if Peter Jackson wants to take a shot at it.
Take another shot at it. Yeah. With a little bit more of a budget.
Yeah, who knows?
And John Phillips commented on the trailer for this week's movie, saying, "This film had so much promise, but I think studio meddling ruined this. Also, I didn't watch Lost, and this film isn't a shining example of Damon Lindelof's talents." Lost is not a shining example of Lindelof's talents, and I will get to that. I hated the ending of Lost. But we'll get to that because it also kind of factors into this movie as well. But before we get to that, we have an announcement. Again, I mentioned that Bodo's video kind of feeds into it. When I saw Bodo's video, I kind of wished that we were doing a video version of Zombie Takeout because, you know, then I could actually cut the video into it. And,
oh, yeah.
Well, when we announced that we were going to YouTube next year, we said we were cutting Zombie Takeout down to once a month and the other 3 weeks were going to be the John and Scotto show. We've changed our minds. Zombie Takeout, the video version, the proper video version where you will see us on camera, is going to be a weekly show still. And the feed, the audio feed, the hearing and the John Scotto show, will be in the John and Scotto feed, johnscotto.com if you want that one. And I will also continue putting Zombie Takeout on zombietakeout.com and in that feed on iTunes. So if you're already subscribed, that won't change. Really, not a lot will change. I'm not going
to... Except we're going to have a lot of content to do.
Yeah, well, for us. I'm saying for the listeners. If okay. You just want to listen to Zombie Takeout on the Zombie Takeout feed on iTunes that you're already subscribed to, not a lot's going to change. I'm not cutting any of the YouTube stuff. I'm not really editing it, so it's going to be a little raw. It's probably going to be shorter because we have three shows to record every week.
Yeah.
We did the two hard ones last week, and we agreed on it, so.
Yeah.
And the only thing I'm going to have to change is because I'm not cutting anything, we're losing the outtake. Aside from that, it's going to be the same show.
Yeah. I wonder if people actually know about the outtake.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if anybody actually listened to the end of the show.
We've been doing that before, like Marvel did the credits, you know. I mean, really, ours is more like, you know, the end of Cannonball Run more than anything. Mm-hmm. But, you know.
Oh, and if anybody listened to or watched The Hearing, our music show that we put up last week, I'm going to have to make a slight change going forward. I'm going to have to cut the music clips because I realized how litigious the record companies can be.
Oh.
I'm not worried about Estrons. They're independent. Who knows if they've actually seen it. But, you know, we're going to do some major label stuff, and, you know, I don't want to get taken down.
Yeah.
The link to it on, you know, Spotify or Bandcamp or whatever will be in the description, so you'll be able to follow along there. And one last note before we get started on this week's movie. A couple weeks ago, I said that Discovery was 6 episodes in the first season. I was wrong. It's actually 15.
Which makes a little more sense.
Yeah, yeah.
But still not enough for me to say, oh, I'm going to pay a monthly fee to watch that.
You just have 9 more weeks to wait. 6 just aired, so you just have 9 more weeks to wait until you get the free trial and binge it.
Yeah, Stranger Things is coming on this Friday.
Yeah, I'm that too.
Good.
I was underwhelmed by season 1, but I so desperately want to know what the hell that big monster is. He's probably just going to be in a vision from the Upside Down, but I still want to know.
Who knows?
And finally, on to this week's movie, which is from 2012, Prometheus. And of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Bell and Yutani, making creepy robots since 2093.
And also brought to you by Claw Machines. You never win a prize. And you know what? I really don't think they're a good idea for medical use either.
Nah. We didn't talk about this ahead of time. I probably should have mentioned it, but can I take another shot at the plot summary? It'll be short.
Oh. You wanna
I'll take another shot at it. This'll be a short one.
All right.
This is everything you need to know about this movie. I'm going to spare you 2 hours. It's everything that impacts the alien universe and really the only interesting parts for me. So the engineers, the species of the pilot from the first Alien movie, they seeded life on Earth. The movie begins with one of them standing on the edge of this beautiful waterfall in Iceland, and he drinks this black ooze that kind of tears him apart on a cellular level. He starts disintegrating, falls into the waterfall, and you can see his DNA being dispersed into the water. And at some point in the future after that, sometime before 2093, they create this creature that's kind of like a squid, but it can, you know, move about and live on land, and it's very aggressive and dangerous, and it reproduces non-consensually through the mouth like the facehuggers do. And then through the course of the events in the movie, which again, you don't need to know, one of the engineers and one of the squid monsters end up fighting. The engineer is impregnated by the squid monster and out pops the first xenomorph. Literally all you need to know about Prometheus.
That can't be the first one because there's a statue of one.
Oh, you're right. Okay, scratch that. Doesn't make sense then. Where did they come from if there was a statue and that kind of made it seem like that was the first xenomorph?
Well, here's... I think that's...
The actual plot summary.
I think that's the one that survives that goes on in later movies.
Perhaps, yeah.
But here's, I mean, there's a lot that they don't fill in here. Mm. Or they kind of do, but they don't come right out and say that they created the planet Earth as a test for their weapon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming it's a test
for
their weapon.
That makes sense.
And,
yeah, I forgot to mention that they're taking the squid creature to Earth to wipe out humanity.
Right. They create all these bombs. It's in bomb form. It's just like it starts out as just the black liquid and infects, you know, the population until it kills everything. And of course, they were just going to run it and test on us a few thousand years earlier from 2090 something.
95. Yeah.
But a funny thing happened.
On the way to destroying Earth.
Yes. They lost control of them. And it seems like a nasty ass battle took place that we, you know, pretty much land in and see, you know, a few thousand years later, killing off almost the entire crew. And it seems like they got all of them contained just about.
Yeah.
And but for some reason they cryogenically froze themselves, I guess hoping someone was going to come and rescue them from, because they're in it, you also get the feeling that this was a secret outpost, you know, it was away from their actual civilization.
Well, they flat out say that at one point. Idris Elba's
Yeah,
character, the captain, says that.
yes. That you know, it's a, you know, an experimental military outpost, and
The cast is way better than the movie, by the way.
the cast is just yeah, it is just amazing, the cast they assembled, and it is amazing how little they were able to do with this. So right, but of course this still doesn't actually tell everything that we've talked about, really doesn't explain the movie
No,
itself. That's the
you
problem.
don't need that.
There's so much around this. Like it, this suffers from the same thing, that flaw from the other Alien movies, where they begin too early. Like the last, this shares a lot more in common with Aliens than the original, of course. In fact, if you diagram the plot, they're on this mission. They think it's going to be easy. They land, shit gets real, and then they inexplicably keep going back. You know, I think Aliens was like that too, where we're like, why are they going back? Okay, the second time you can kind of understand, we're going to rescue our crew. And then the third time, okay, you're just an idiot for coming back in there. That's a suicide mission because you know it's in there and you know how easily they can just infect you and kill you.
Already ensues.
Oh, yeah. Well,
Okay.
there it
Oh yeah,
is.
we kind of skipped that part.
We actually haven't talked about the plot of this film,
Yeah,
though.
no, I don't think it's necessary.
So, okay,
Okay.
here's the actual plot of the film.
Yeah.
We have these archaeologists who discover that there is an intergalactic map, a galaxy map of on ancient, you know, writings and
Ancient cave
carvings.
drawings.
Yes, on cave drawings, it, across the world, that nobody noticed until 2180 something. They convince a gazillionaire that the, you know, they found the creators of Earth, so that, you know, they funded them with $1 trillion for this mission that they had to, you know, travel 2 years cryogenically frozen. And then when, you know, they reach, except for the android who's watching over them creepily, more like a butler than an android though. And when they reach it, they of course wake up, they land, they play around with everything very loosey-goosey, and of course unwittingly reactivate these aliens that were stored in bombs. People start dying, but yeah, like I said, they keep going back in for some reason, and hilarity ensues.
Now, I've never been to Iceland, but I can immediately recognize it in movies and TV.
Oh, really?
As soon as I saw the beginning of this movie, I knew that was Iceland.
Oh, the opening scene
Yeah,
where
where
they're.
the engineer sacrifices himself.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't quite following what the engineer was doing. Why did he sacrifice himself in the beginning?
To see the life on Earth, that whatever that black liquid was tore him apart on a cellular level, and we see the double helix, floating away in the water. And
Yeah, but was he aware that he was sacrificing himself? He
I
seemed
would
to
assume so.
think. He seemed to think that that was going to, that might have enhanced him. I don't know.
It's still gonna hurt. I mean, but I think he knew it was gonna tear him apart and, spread his DNA through the water and seed life on Earth. At least that was my interpretation. They don't make it very clear.
Oh, you know, I hadn't thought of him seeding life on Earth.
They created the planet, they seeded it, and now they're going to use it for. And then your interpretation of it being created for a weapons test makes a lot of sense.
Well, yeah, because it doesn't make any other sense. Why would you create this planet and populate it and then, put together a mission to destroy it?
Right. And the scene where he's, being torn apart by the liquid reminded me of some 80s video, but I can't remember what it was. Kind of the way the mask they put on him and the kind of the movements he was making reminded me of some 80s video.
Maybe if they had some dancing chickens, it may have been Sledgehammer. I don't know.
Maybe. And then, of course, the next scene, they find the cave drawings. And they just assume that this coincidence means aliens.
That's quite a stretch.
Literally every culture has dragon myths. Yeah. We don't think there were really dragons. You know, at least not, you know, science doesn't think there were really dragons. They just assume from these drawings that there are aliens.
I think we would have, you know, figured out this pattern across cultures, you know, if it was there.
Yeah.
You're retconning primitive culture.
And I do like that, you know, there were a few skeptics in the movie, because the two doctors were pathetic.
Of course. Yeah, the whole thing, like, you did this because of some drawings?
Yeah.
And one of them is like, yeah.
And he, you know, she chooses to believe. She's risking everybody's neck because she chooses to believe. You know, a few of them were skeptics. Unfortunately, the skeptics were treated like assholes. And the one doctor, the male doctor, Charlie, says, don't be a skeptic, when he's, you know, saying he's going to take his helmet off. What kind of fucking doctor says, don't be a skeptic? I was so glad he died.
Well, right. Everything is just handled barehanded. And, and just like, what are you guys? Like, is there a single scientist on this crew? What the fuck?
I just kind of hated everyone. Well, no, not sure. The geologist I liked, but I knew he was a red shirt.
Yeah. I like Idris Elba in this. But yeah, everybody else didn't really have a chance for anything.
Yeah.
And it's because they began the movie a little too early, you know? Like, we didn't need to see the archaeology, you know, mission anything like that. They could have just explained that on the ship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And maybe had a little bit more time with the crew before going in.
Yeah. It's, you know, treat it like a war movie. Introduce everybody, you know, get us to like them and then kill them.
Or at least have them signing up for this mission, I don't know what the fuck we're here for kind of thing.
Right.
And then they all go to sleep and then they all wake up kind of deal.
Mm-hmm. I did like the ship design. Reminded me a lot of the Serenity. And in the interiors, they kept the whole white, sterile, you know, alien kind of look.
Yeah.
Which was a nice touch. Also, the alien planet looked a lot like primal Earth. They were both Iceland.
Well, right. That's what was confusing about it. You know, until you said that, I didn't realize that was primitive Earth that he was on, that engineer was on when he died. I just assumed that was
his planet.
On their planet. Yeah.
Wouldn't make sense on his planet, you know. It, that's the only thing that makes sense is he was seeding Earth.
It didn't make sense either way, honestly.
Yeah, true.
How would that seed Earth anyway? Him taking this, you know,
one, you know, person or creature's DNA in the water just means that we would end up looking like them. There would have to be
the
other
movie
life.
We saw with the like the air. It was that the one with the fish monsters or whatever.
Tokyo, Gyo Tokyo Fish Attack.
Like, the air from this has, you know,
yeah,
gone around the world. And it's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
The air from what thing? Oh, no, wait a minute. It was Resident Evil.
Oh, yes.
Where they
had the antidote
to the virus, yes. And they just released this one tube.
Yeah, and it spreads around the world, yes. Except that's a Resident Evil movie.
Oh, my God.
This is a Ridley Scott movie.
Right.
With a great cast.
And it's like, yeah, one dude's DNA just scattered across the planet and created life. Really? That's how it worked?
Yeah. Logic isn't exactly Lindelof's calling card. You didn't see Lost.
No, and I didn't watch Lost the same reason I never got really into Voyager, because it's Gilligan's Island.
Fair point. I watched Lost. I was a big fan. The ending pissed me off, because throughout the series, there was this faith versus reason kind of debate going on. And I should have seen the signs. Faith won. I should have seen it in hindsight. I should have seen it coming a mile away. And it's very much the same in this movie. Everything is done with hunches.
Yeah.
You know, there's no logic. There's no reason. There's no empirical evidence for any of this shit. They just do what they feel like doing, and because they believe
it. Which is insane, if you think about it. Flying across, the universe.
Yeah.
Two years to travel across, and just maybe they'll be nice to us, these people, when we find them. We've seen all these destructive things, but I'm gonna go out there and maybe they'll heal what's wrong with me. Like, wait, what would lead you to think that?
Yeah, Wayland, who surprised is still alive, even though he said earlier in the film that he's dead, he would be dead by the time they were watching this video that he filmed. He believes that the aliens can make him immortal for some reason. They may have seeded life on Earth, but that doesn't mean they held the secret of eternal life.
Right. There's no evidence to suggest that, but hey, it's what you feel like doing.
And just in the basic plot of the movie, there's not a lot of logic. In one scene, after they take off their helmets because they find out, there's an within this structure on the planet, the air is breathable even though it isn't outside.
Which, spoiler alert, it's a ship. Who couldn't see that one coming?
But they also say that it's 12 below on the ship because it's a dormant ship. And yet they're walking around without their helmets on and their heads aren't freezing.
And you never see their breath either.
That too.
Yeah, 12 below. I mean, you're hoping they're talking Fahrenheit at least.
I would assume Fahrenheit, because 12
Then
below.
again, actually,
Well, no,
no, at
12
that
below
point,
Celsius would be what, 28? No, 20.
actually, at that point, I think, doesn't it, don't they start coinciding just about when you start getting into the
Well,
negatives?
no, actually, Celsius actually makes a certain amount of sense because 12 below Celsius would be 20 Fahrenheit. S
Yeah.
still cold, you'd still see
Oh,
their
that's right,
breath,
because
but
yeah,
not, painfully cold.
12 below Fahrenheit would even be colder. You're right. You're right.
Because water freezes at 32 Fahrenheit. But I don't know, I just wished there was a xenomorph earlier in the film. There was a scene where they were rushing back because there was this big storm coming in. They had to get back to the ship. And, it was a ticking clock with the hatch of the ship closing in 5 minutes. And one of course, the main character gets left outside, has to be rescued. I just so wish the hatch had closed earlier. It
Well,
would have
I
been a
love
better film
that.
if they just killed them there.
I love that scene because the wind was strong enough to blow their vehicles away,
Yeah.
but not the people.
Right, they could run even though the vehicles are being thrown around.
If they just hold on to each other, they won't get blown away. The vehicles, however, that can get blown all over the place. The people, they somehow can withstand the wind. And how about that horrendous age makeup on
Guy Pearce,
Guy
yeah.
Pearce? I mean, he should have told them to have fun storming the castle while they before they left, because it was just that
Yeah.
ridiculous.
And another non-reveal was when we find out that Vickers, the sort of the administrator on board, is actually his daughter. She has this pod, they call it. It's basically a surgery unit. You get in and it performs surgery on you. And they established that it's designed or it's configured for a man, even though she's a woman. It was pretty obvious at that point that the old man was on the ship.
But that makes no sense because, well, one, then she would have known he was on the ship, and
Yeah.
they made it sound like she didn't.
That's true.
And two, it's what, 2190 something?
Twenty-ninth.
They can't have it do both.
That's a very good point. You should be able to just hit a button and switch between.
I mean, are they still using phones separately from their music listening devices too while
Yeah.
they're at it? We hadn't thought of that. A different gender could go in here.
And speaking of Vickers, Charlize Theron's character.
Underused.
Underused, dreadfully underused. And I kind of liked, or at least I was ambivalent about the Captain Idris Elba's character and her until he basically sexually harasses her into sleeping with him.
Well, he hits on her. I don't know if you call it sexual harassment.
It kind of, I don't know, it seemed like I was disappointed when she actually agreed to sleep with him because she was
It
shutting him down.
was actually the only surprise in the movie.
Fair point, fair point.
It was the only unexpected twist to
Yeah,
happen in this
very good
whole
point.
fucking movie. It's like, oh, the two guys are gonna get killed. Who saw that coming?
Yeah,
I mean, oh, the chick's gonna survive. The one that, you know, we see her, you know, he's, you know, the android's watching her dreams. We see everything coming except for her saying, in my quarters.
Yeah. And then there's also this with Shaw, Noomi Rapace's character. That's an outtake. Took me about 3 tries to say her name. With her character, there's this infertility angle that was completely unnecessary.
Right.
There was no need for it, like most of this movie.
You are correct. They should have killed them off early on and just had it between Idris Elba and Charlize Theron as, you know, arguing about what the fuck they should do with this discovery.
That would be good. I was just thinking of ending the movie there, but, you know, carry it on with those two. That'd be great.
Roll credits, half hour in. But no, you know, they follow these dumb, you know, scientists into this, I use that in air quotes, scientists, into this mission. Yeah, because they literally are just, oh, we saw the cave drawings and we thought we'd go to this galaxy. And there's a rich guy that thought, hey, that's a great idea. Maybe they can cure what's ailing me. What? You guys aren't even making any sense. But, you know, the two of them are kind of the skeptics. Mm. You know,
yeah,
maybe, you know, they're just fighting it side by side, or maybe they're arguing what to do, but, you know, it's alien, so they'd be arguing what to do.
Yeah, that would be a good conflict. That'd be a very Aliens conflict that they spent about 5 minutes on.
Yeah, not even.
This could have been a deep, meaningful, hard sci-fi film. This could have been, you know, worthy of the franchise. But Scott decided to make Ridley Scott. Sorry for the confusion.
Well, you know, when I made this movie.
But Ridley Scott decided to make a pointless action film.
Well, and I mean, what was weird was following that Aliens, you know, model so closely, where, you know, they're going back in almost the same number of times and everything. It was just, you know, it just missed someone saying, is this going to be another Bug Hunt? And, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The freak out didn't last as long.
No great which quotes.
The freak out of this was pretty good too. Like, what do you mean glitch?
True.
What do you mean there's a life form here? And honestly, once you hear like there's a life form in there that it's picking up, it's like, okay, we're getting the fuck out of here right
exactly.
now.
Yes. Which I think was about half of Idris Elba's lines.
Yeah.
We gotta go. That's about half of his script. And at one point, they established that, you know, because the cave or the structure they were in was actually a ship, the ground that the ship is on, or most of it, you know, at least the ground between the ship and the structure, was just metal with, like, a thin layer of rocks on it.
Yeah.
With all of that back and forth, don't you think somebody would have noticed that? Because it was literally just one layer of rock.
It was kind of a mechanical awning, wasn't it?
It was metal with these, it was metal with these little rocks, like, you know, you'd see in a front yard on this metal. Somebody should have picked up on that. And of course, we get to the great climax of the film when Weyland, old Weyland, is brought to meet the engineer because he wants to meet his creator before he dies to see if he can, you know, become immortal. And so you've got the guy with the answer to life, the universe, and everything, who seeded Earth and possibly created Earth. And instead of dropping some kind of great point, you know, giving the movie an exclamation point, saying something with it, he just starts killing people.
They turn out to be assholes.
Yeah. Pointlessly killing people. I mean, I guess not pointlessly, because, I mean, if you do look at the whole weapons test thing, like John said, it had a lot of promise. They could have made some kind of larger point with that. You know, meeting our creators could have given them some kind of larger point.
There could have been a little back and forth with the engineers first.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, true, the engineers probably thought we were, you know, like squirrels that climbed into their attic or whatever.
Right.
And just like, fuck you, you know, uh-huh. I'm not going to waste my time.
But I mean,
they could have at least conveyed that to us.
At least that, or drop something like, you know, in the Arrival, you know, if you can't take care of your planet, you don't deserve to live on it. You know, One line made the point in that movie. This movie didn't even go that far.
That's true. That was the Arrival, right?
Yeah. And of course, the one survivor has to go through this big action scene where, you know, she's being chased by an engineer and she ends up between the engineer and the squid monster. And it just sets up a sequel.
Yeah, well, yeah, because the whole thing is missing. There's still a whole bunch to connect.
Yeah.
To get to the crash site that they're investigating
mm-hmm.
in the first Alien. And they believe it's her ship, you know, crashed with with the xenomorph.
And... Right. And so Shaw, Noomi Rapace's character, goes off in a ship. She and David, the android, in his head, or his head at least, manage to commandeer another ship. Of course, you think they're going to go to Earth. She decides she wants to chase after the engineers to find out where they came from.
Her spaceship knows just which way to go.
Exactly. And apparently she thinks she's going to last 5 minutes after she finds them.
Yeah, I don't get the whole thought behind that because, I mean, you know, how is she planning on fighting these guys?
I think I don't get the point behind it sums up this movie.
Yeah.
On to sequels and remakes.
Yeah, pretty much, because a lot of it's just, my notes are just, what the fuck are they doing?
Yeah, I just have little nitpicks that aren't really even worth getting into.
The two guys that said, oh, we're getting out of here, and then they get stuck behind. Yeah. None of it made any sense. No.
So this is, well, kind of a prequel to Alien. Ridley Scott says the film shares strands of DNA, so to speak, and takes place in the same universe, but it explores its own mythologies and ideas. So it's kind of a sequel to Alien, or a prequel to Alien. It's also the direct prequel to Alien Covenant. Apparently Shaw is in that, but she's uncredited, so it's probably a very small part. David is in it. You still don't need this movie, I don't think, to get to it.
They probably have like video footage of her in Alien Covenant. You know, the scientists discovered this useless thing, and they decided to trek across the universe to see if her dreams could come true.
Yeah, to see if you could survive for 5 minutes.
$1 trillion?
Yeah. All right, so on to Brains.
On to Brains.
Really great cast. It looks nice. It's well shot. For the most part, it's well scripted. Like, the actual lines are good. The story is just a mess. I'm going to.
The cast is pretty good. Fassbender's solid. Mm-hmm. But we hardly know who these crew members are, you know, the pilots and stuff, you know, except they have one good line towards the end. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, though.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have done so much more with this. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to as well.
All right. And what have we learned?
We learned when you have your killer lampreys, you should still have Christopher Lloyd.
Nice. Also, yeah, I got to give him a nod for the creature design, too, because this sort of lamprey things are much cooler than facehuggers. And I learned that the Alien universe just needs to be left alone. It just gets worse with every movie.
Yeah, you know.
Alien was a masterpiece. Aliens was damn good. 3 and 4 were okay. And then we had this piece of shit.
I think I like this better than 4.
Perhaps. But it still just gets worse.
But I don't think I liked it better than 3. It's been a long time since I've seen 3.
Same here.
But it did have Charles S. Dutton. Mm. So. That's all I remember that. Like, it wasn't all bad because it did have Charles Dutton in it.
Yeah. All right. So until next time, when we'll be reviewing Zombievers, continuing our run of B-movies.
Yeah.
Which I didn't expect this one to do. Go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course the episode itself, which you're already listening to. Links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and YouTube. Links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Please leave us a rating and review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. And if you enjoy the show, spread the word. Give us a little word of mouth. Of course, we appreciate all of the listeners we have, but more would be better. You also find in the movie list every movie we've reviewed so far and every movie we're going to review up through the science fiction double feature, The Day the Earth Stood Still, and Forbidden Planet. And our Christmas movie directly after that, or should I say Christmas movies? Do we want to? Well, we'll explain that in a later date.
Yeah, it's too early for Christmas shit.
You also find the recommendations list. I knew this wasn't making it because there was no way in hell I was going to recommend it. I honestly didn't know what you were going to think.
We've seen it before. That's the problem.
Yeah, exactly. John summed it up. It had so much promise, but didn't live up to it. I didn't see anything about studio interference, so I don't think that was the case necessarily.
I actually have heard about studio interference.
Oh, you did? Okay, so maybe that's true then.
Originally, the ending, this was supposed to be called Alien Engineers, and the ending was supposed to be her having a fight with the xenomorph.
Okay, that would be interesting.
Yeah, and she's escaping the planet.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think it's just one of these, we need to get rid of these motherfuckers, you know.
So she was going to be Ripley and then just turned out to be whiny and annoying.
Yeah, that is exactly what happened.
You can email us, zombietakeout@gmail.com, or voicemail at 414-368-CTO1, or for the alphanumerical challenge.
You can lamprey yourself.
414-368-9861. Of course, always remember that you'll always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee. And until next time, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life.
There you are.
I'm going to go back to the ship, if you don't mind.
And there's also this with Shaw, name Noomi Rapace's character.